This is Safe and Sound, New Zealand's only animal rights show, broadcasting from Free FM in Hamilton and playing right across New Zealand via the Access Radio sector. My name's Sandra Kyle. It's my pleasure to welcome you today to our show. Our guest is Laurie Levy from the Coalition Against Duck Shooting based in Victoria. On the second day of the New Zealand season that started last weekend, I went down to my local lake to where I feed up to 40 ducks who regularly hang out there. The numbers had greatly swollen to about 80, and the lake's new population included a pair of majestic swans and a couple of shags. I even saw more pukekos than usual. When I mentioned this to a friend, he told me that when he had worked at the filter station in Ardmore in Auckland, the day before the season started, ducks would start arriving at the ponds. And based on this evidence, we both agreed that ducks must be more intelligent than duck shooters. What do you think of that analysis, Laurie?
Oh, I think you're spot on there, Sandra. We know in Victoria, the water birds that get shot on the opening weekend and during the duck shooting season are usually young birds. Because once birds have experienced a duck shooting season, then they take off before the shooting starts.
That's amazing.
The young birds haven't experienced a duck shooting season, so they don't actually know what's happening. And they're usually the ones that get shot.
Now, let's just go back to how the Coalition Against Duck Shooting started. Have you been involved with it from the beginning?
I started the duck campaign in 1986, and 15 rescuers went out onto Victoria's wetlands to challenge 100,000 duck shooters who were in Victoria at that particular point of time. And I can tell you, it was a frightening experience. But what we did that was different was duck shooting was all about killing and wounding native water birds. So we did the opposite. We took out a small rescue team and we took out a mobile veterinary clinic. And for the first time ever in Australia's history that we know of, water birds were rescued that day, taken back to the mobile veterinary clinic, where they were treated by vets and their staff. And, of course, all the media came out with us to see what we were doing. And those news stories went right around the country. The duck campaign took off overnight.
My goodness me, what a wonderful story. And it was your idea to bring the mobile vet clinic there? And who helped you on that occasion?
Well, during 1986, there were members of Animal Liberation who came out with us, and they were terrific. And of course, the campaign, I'm an ex-television cameraman, right, and the campaign was based on two images. One of a duck shooter dressed up in camouflage gear, carrying what was a semi-automatic shotgun or a pump-action shotgun in those days, before they were banned in Victoria or Australia. And the other image was of a rescuer coming out of the water with a wounded bird. Now, that second image, that one of kindness and compassion, will always win the hearts and minds,
yes, of course,
over an act of violence. And that's what the campaign was always based on.
You mentioned the wounded duck in the photo. What are the most common injuries that you see?
Water birds receive shocking injuries. I mean, if you could imagine being blasted with a shotgun which fires a cartridge with around 200 pellets in it. Birds have their wings blown off. They have shocking wing injuries. But even one pellet, one single pellet striking a wing, can break a bone. And of course, those birds are brought back to the Melbourne Zoo or Healesville Sanctuary or the Lord Smith Animal Hospital. They're treated on the wetlands in what is an emergency-type situation. Then they come back to Melbourne to be operated on. But birds are shot in the body. Pellets lodge near vital organs. The pain that these birds feel must be absolutely shocking. And they have their bills blown off, they're shot in the eye. And I mean, you name it, they've had it. And I know this year, on the opening of the duck shooting season, the brutality that duck shooters inflicted on our beautiful native water birds was so bad. The violence and the cruelty were just so bad that a lot of our rescuers were traumatised by what they saw. We had to bring a counsellor down from Sydney to talk to them in a debriefing.
Right. Goodness me. You mentioned that back in 1986 there were 100,000 shooters, but I cannot imagine that many people, even in Australia with your larger population, going out to shoot these days. Has there been a decrease in the amount of people going out duck shooting?
There's been a huge decrease in the numbers of duck shooters, and that 100,000 wasn't across Australia. That was only in Victoria, the state of Victoria. But we had more duck shooters than other states because Victoria had more wetlands. But what happened was the first state to ban the recreational shooting of native water birds was Western Australia in 1990. Mm. And we went across there to help fight the issue with the Conservation Council of Western Australia. And on the 3rd of September 1990, the Premier, Carmen Lawrence, put out a media release saying that the recreational shooting of native water birds in the 1990s was unacceptable, the cruelty is horrific, protected species are illegally shot, and as of that date, the West Australian duck shooting season was banned for all time.
That's wonderful.
And then the New South Wales government in 1995 followed the example by the West Australian government and banned duck shooting. Mm. And in 2005, the Queensland government banned duck shooting, and the Premier, Peter Beattie, said Queensland is now the smart state looking after its water birds.
Yes, yes. And how many other states now are there who still permit it?
Well, Victoria, South Australia, Tasmania and the Northern Territory.
Right.
But in Victoria, over the years, the numbers of duck shooters have fallen from 100,000 down to 25,000 who are licensed, but only 15,000 of those are still active. So 85,000 duck shooters have disappeared over the last 30 years, and that's due to changing public opinion.
Yes, of course.
And all the media coverage that we've had over the years.
Absolutely.
Duck shooters today make up only 0.4% of Victoria's population.
Mm.
It's a dying activity.
Definitely dying. But mainly they'd be people in rural areas, wouldn't they?
No, usually a lot of city people used to go duck shooting and they would go up to the wetlands and blast away. But the other good thing that's happened is for the last 3 years, people in regional Victoria, on their own volition, are talking to their local media and calling for duck shooting to be banned. Mm. They don't want duck shooters in their regions. And what they do want is nature-based wetlands tourism, because most country towns in Victoria are financially going under. They've lost most of their industries. The youth have to leave to go to the big cities to get work. And what they need is a thriving nature-based wetlands tourism based on the Phillip Island penguins model.
What a great idea, and we could do something similar here in New Zealand. Tourism is a very thriving area in our country. Now, you must know ducks well. Ducks are such common wildlife. You know, we see them a lot, but we don't really know much about them. What can you share with us about, you know, their duck behaviour?
Well, the amazing thing with native duck species and other native water birds is if they're in Victoria and there's rain in Queensland, and Victoria is drying out with drought, the birds know, they seem to know where the water is, and they'll fly to the other end of Australia to where that water is, like when Lake Eyre fills up. Mm. All the pelicans from around the country know Lake Eyre has filled up, and they'll be there at Lake Eyre. How do they know there's water there? Well, you know, we have to listen to the radio or watch television news to see what the weather's going to be like. They know.
They know.
Scientists know that they know, but they don't know how they know. Also, water birds are a master of their own environment. They know the wetlands that they need to roost on. They know the wetlands where they need to feed. And the thing is, water birds cannot overbreed. They breed up depending on the water and the feed that's available. So the arguments that shooters use, we've got to control their numbers, is a load of rubbish.
Yes.
The only reason shooters get in there and shoot birds is because they get a kick out of it. They get their thrills out of trying to shoot down a more intelligent species about the size of it. Because when you think of it, to outsmart a native water bird, a duck shooter has to dress in camouflage gear.
That's right.
He's got to carry a powerful gun. He's got to have a dog with him. He's got to hide himself behind the blind so that the bird can't see him. He takes out decoys to try and attract the birds. He has a whistle to try and attract the birds by sending out bird calls on that whistle. So a duck shooter has to go to all that trouble trying to outsmart a small native water bird. Of course, most of the time, the birds come out on top.
That's right, and it's only the young birds that he can outsmart, not the older ones who've learned, who have a bit of wisdom now. Oh, my goodness me. I think many ducks will mate for life as well. Is that true?
Yes, there are species. I know the wood duck, swans, and others do mate for life, but of course, they must go through a lot of emotional trauma when their mate is shot out of the sky. And I know with mountain ducks, for instance, shell ducks, you'll find that if they're flying and one is shot, its mate will come down to it, and its mate normally gets shot at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, birds definitely feel emotion. The other thing we've seen out on the water is during a duck shooting season, if it's a breeding season and they're still young around and the parents get shot, other female ducks will, you'll often see them with 30 or 40 ducklings trailing behind them. Now, those ducklings aren't
adopted.
All there.
Mm.
They adopt them to look after them. It's quite wonderful.
Oh, that is wonderful. Laurie, it's also wonderful to hear you talking so sensitively and passionately about water birds. What's your background, just briefly, that led you into this?
Well, I used to be a television cameraman, and you see a lot of injustices. And during the 1970s, I worked with Project Jonah in Australia to help to ban whaling in this country, and whaling came to an end in 1980, and then we started working on rescuing stranded whales, because we noticed that when whales stranded, and they usually stranded down in Tasmania, they would usually die on the beach. So we went down there to see what we could do to rescue them, and within 3 years, we had set up and established state whale rescue plans in Tasmania, Victoria, and Western Australia, and New South Wales. And of course, the government chipped in. And these days, whenever whales strand, we became redundant by 1988, which was terrific. Because whenever whales strand now, state governments go into action to rescue them. And hundreds of people turn out on the beach to help. And usually those rescues are pretty successful these days.
So I believe that recently you were, your organisation was fined for saving birds. Can you tell us about that?
Well, in 1993, the government of the day introduced new laws to keep rescuers off the water. Governments have always been highly embarrassed because we bring out wounded birds. We bring out protected, threatened and endangered species that have been illegally shot. And, of course, this embarrasses the government. And when you've got the media there, those news stories go right across the country that night. And the government introduced penalties to try and keep rescuers off the water. Well, those penalties now, rescuers who went into the water on the opening of the duck shooting season this year, mm-hmm. on the 18th of March in Victoria, were fined $930 for rescuing a wounded bird. And some rescuers will be taken to court, and the government also has introduced new laws that rescuers can be banned for the whole of the duck shooting season. And of course, even though rescuers are banned, they still go back out onto the water again. And we do that right through the duck shooting season.
Have any of your people been hurt or been attacked by duck shooters?
Over the years, we've always played it hard on the wetlands. Rescuers in the early days used to race duck shooters for wounded birds because we figured if a bird is wounded, it has the right to first aid, and we've always had mobile veterinary clinics on the wetlands. But the first serious injury was in 2011 when a rescuer was shot in the face, and she had 9 pellets lodged in her face, and she was extremely lucky because pellets hit both sides of her eyes, and if they had have been a couple of centimetres to the left or to the right, she would have been blinded, if not killed. And she was rushed down to the Horsham Base Hospital where pellets were taken out, but she still has pellets lodged in her face that are too deep to come out without invasive surgery. And she was very lucky. So what we did, we went out and managed to purchase the best safety goggles, the ballistic goggles that the army uses in Afghanistan and Iraq. And even though these goggles aren't foolproof, they're the best you can get. And you can't buy them on the market, but we managed to pick up 125 pairs of them. And of course, these days, all rescuers have to wear those goggles just for eye safety.
Every season, well, usually, shooters hurt each other. In other words, there are accidents where a shooter himself or herself has been hurt. Does that happen in Australia as well?
Well, in the early days, up until the time we started going out to the wetlands, shooters were either, they used to shoot each other or themselves, or these days it is a lot safer for shooters as well, because in the early days there was no policing out on the wetlands at all. It was a bit like the old West in America, where it was totally lawless. And because we went out to the wetlands, by 1989 the police started sending teams out there as well to keep the peace and to make sure, I guess, people were safe. And because of that, a lot of drinking that shooters used to do started stopping because the police were there. And usually the opening weekend, because of the numbers of police who are out there, it's probably the safest it's been for duck shooters, as well as it is for rescuers.
But not the animals.
No, the birds suffer. And the problem we have is not just the shooters, it's the politicians, because the difference between rescuers and shooters out on the wetlands is the shooters have no empathy for to their victims.
Mm.
And as soon as a bird is shot and it starts to tumble out of the sky, you hear a cheer from the shooters.
I know, I've seen it.
And of course, rescuers are all sensitive people, and to have to witness animal cruelty, to have to witness the shocking suffering that these birds have to go through just so shooters can get their kicks is very traumatising for our rescuers. Of course, you know, we had to bring in a counsellor to debrief them this year. But the thing is, we would expect our politicians to have more empathy for our native water birds, and there isn't one government department in the Victorian state Labor government that looks after native water birds. Now, you would think that the Environment Department would be looking after its native water birds, but they also look after the shooters.
We'll have to leave the interview with Loie Levy here, but be sure to tune in again next week to listen to part two. Roald Dahl wrote a book called The Magic Finger, and in this book a young girl had a magical ability to use a blast of magical energy from her finger to disfigure the person she's upset at. And after her turning her teacher into a cat, she uses her finger to turn a neighbouring family of hunters into little people with bird wings instead of arms. And their house is taken over by ducks who are human-sized, and they've got human arms instead of wings. So this family, the Greggs, have to go and build a nest in the garden, and they wake up one day to find the large ducks who have taken over their house standing over them with guns, threatening to shoot them. Now Mrs. Gregg begs the ducks not to kill her children, when one of the ducks replies that her children were killed by the Greggs on their last shooting trip. So the Gregg family promise never to hunt again, and the spell is broken. They smash their guns and even set up tombstones for the ducks that they've killed. They even change their name to the Egg family. However, another family, the Coopers, are also mad about hunting, and they're soon to suffer the same fate. So from the rich imagination of Roald Dahl came a very good lesson in compassion and morality for children. We thank Loie for taking the time out to speak with us today. And just before closing, I'd like to give a shout out to everyone in this country involved in campaigning against duck shooting, including SAFE and various animal rights groups and bird rescue organisations. I hope that listening to Loie, they might have some ideas about how we can begin to close in on our government to ban this terrible sport. We look forward to your company again next week, and we'll go out on a track that Loie chose. It's by Daniel Gregory, and it's called Lay Down Your Guns. See you next week. Bye-bye.
On a central Victorian wetland at dawn, morning is broken by gunfire torn. Desperate and terrified, take to the sky. Savagely ambushed, they give up their lives. When will this cruelty be done? When will you lay down your gun? Small men that feel big when they're wielding a gun. Prey on the weak and defenseless for fun. Callously leaving the wounded to die. while those in authority avert their eyes. When will this cruelty be done? When will you lay down your gun? But the criminals here in the eyes of the law, not the ones killing and maiming for sport. Cowards in camouflage do as they please, while defenders of these voiceless vulnerable beings are put up on trial where they're questioned and fined for rescuing what the thugs leave behind. When will this cruelty be done? When will you lay down your gun? When will this madness be done? When will you lay down your gun?
You've been listening to Safe and Sound, an animal rights program recorded at Free FM in Hamilton and broadcast through stations in the New Zealand Community Access Radio sector. You can follow the show via their Facebook page, which is Safe and Sound Radio Show and Podcast. And you can download and listen to past episodes by going to accessradio.org or through Apple Podcasts.